Hello and welcome to Between Two Cairns. I'm Yochai.
Hi, I'm Brad.
And today we're going to review Sword of the Dragon Slayer. But first, how are you doing, Brad?
Hi, Yochai. Hello. Hi. I'm good. Hey, man. How are you? Are you happy, Pappy? Would you say you're happy? Are you happy, Pappy?
Yeah. Is that a Seinfeld joke?
Yeah, that was a Seinfeld joke.
Okay, good. Just making sure I wasn't remembering the wrong sitcom.
I'm just being folksy, you know?
Yeah. My Kickstarter did really well. That was cool. And I've just been writing a lot. I'm hoping to get done with everything in the next couple of weeks. And then I get to share it with people, which is really exciting. And then also my Jewish Adventure module, Beyond the Pale, finally made it to the U.S. and should be shipping to people soon, which means I'll actually get a copy. I have not physically seen it yet, so I'm excited about that. And then, it's almost summer, and I'm in good spirits for once, and I think it's because I took a week off of work. I think that's the reason.
Sounds like it. That's the dream. Do you feel a sense of relief that the Kickstarter is over, or do you feel more tension now that you have to deliver?
Neither. I worked on this long before the Kickstarter launched. So I feel a sense of accomplishment because I know it's going to happen. I don't feel like this huge weight is over my head. I felt like that before I had a Kickstarter. So
do you feel like you're like a happy wanderer who's unburdened by the anxieties and travails of humanity? Do you feel like you're kind of walking above it in kind of your own cloud of jubilation?
I don't really get anxious. I'm not saying I don't get, upset or whatever. I just take action on the things that I care about, and I don't really worry about how other people feel. And yeah. I think that by itself is a, I don't know, I'm not trying to get on my soapbox, but I think it's really important to know what you want and to not care how other people feel. Those two things, you know, they also make you kind of an asshole sometimes. but it's true. I didn't want the anxiety that I know. I remember talking to Deldon, who did The Door Locks Behind You, which is a kind of Zelda-ish Into the Odd-like. We were talking about Kickstarters at some point in the past. And apparently, if you, do a Kickstarter and then have to write it, it's like really stressful. And I remember, and I think Ava Islam said something like that as well to me a while back about Aaron. So I had this idea in my head, what if I just write it beforehand? And I'm lucky enough where I was able to take a long time to do that. I mean, it took like a year and a half, really, actually 2 years, probably by the time everything gets out. But I started writing second edition in October of the year before last. So I did that because I thought maybe I would be stressed out about what the future may bring. I didn't want to be in a situation where the Kickstarter was successful and then I had to just like do it. Like that's terrifying. So instead, I had worked all the time, which I don't think my wife liked very much. But I will say now that I'm almost done with it, in like 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be done, and then I can just hang out. And I'm so looking forward to not having to do something all the time in service of this. Like, I just want to play games with my friends, you know?
Wow. So you feel your journey will be complete. Wow.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, I feel like, I'm feeling like secondhand satisfaction through you, I feel like, wow. It seems like when I complete something, there's always like the next mountain. It's just
No mountains.
Series of peaks.
I got no more mountains. I do want to like do iterative improvements of stuff that I've already done, like the app I made. Like I have visions for where that could go, and then I have future adventures I want to write that I've already written a number of adventures. I just need to turn them into usable, published stuff. Like that's probably my next thing is converting those modules and playtesting them and just releasing a series of adventures, because that's really fun writing adventures. So. Yeah. You do that all the time. That's like your thing.
Adventures. Yeah, adventure person. Yeah, there we go.
you're the adventures guy. I'm the systems guy.
That's right. That's the
dynamic.
That's what we say.
That's what we say. What? The dynamic. That's our dynamic.
Oh, I thought you said something about a hammock, and I got excited for a little bit.
What about that? Can I tell you? We installed this hammock in my backyard.
You do? So you do have a hammock.
We did have a hammock. I have maybe sat in it twice without completely flipping every time and falling out. I once, while having a video call, tried to sit on it, and that happened.
Oh, no.
And my wife said, "You did that on purpose." I said, "No, I really did not." So the hammock is down now, is what I'm trying to say.
Because you couldn't, because of your cartoonish.
Correct.
Bumbling.
Correct. Uh-huh. Correct.
You ever try to balance a lemonade on your belly while you lie on the hammock? That sounds like living right there.
It's the Homer Simpson style.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. This has gone way off. You're doing fine. You got nothing to check in about?
Yeah, I'm fine. Everything's okay. You know.
Okay. Well,
just kind of stirring the old soup pot. You know what I mean?
Hey, how did those sunglasses turn out that you got?
The migraine health wellness pink tinted sunglasses.
That's right. Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, why don't you fill them in on how your sunglasses came up?
Well, you
up
see,
as a
I got
subject.
These glasses that have pink lenses that are supposed to help with migraines, and it's kind of a real look. It's kind of like I kind of look like, I don't know. I feel like I look like a senior citizen, Italian American kind of guy by the pool.
Whatever. Miami police officer. That's what I see.
Okay, that's another take. Yeah. They're great. I feel like I just want to wear them all the time. I don't need to see the full light spectrum. I love the sweet comforts of just pink light. It feels like wearing a Jolly Rancher in my brain. I struggle to wear normal lenses at any time now. I don't want to see real light. Give me the pink. That's what I want.
Yeah, and the reason this came up is because you made a video talking about how you use your stickers, which was well received, and at the end you asked for a vibe check on your sunglasses. I also made a response video. Right, right.
Yes.
I made a response video on how I don't ruin it, how I personally use stickers. So for those of you who...
Quite rudely... rude and dismissive. I had a video of you throwing your stickers in a garbage can. Our own stickers that we've made and that I ordered from the sticker website and sent to you. I licked the envelope and put a stamp on that, and you throw it in the trash. Wow, says something. Really says something.
Well, for those of you who want to see these videos, they're somewhere in our Discord channel. Maybe I'll pin them or something. Okay, let's move on. We have a Mootsack question today.
Let's hear it. Start the questions. The Mootsack. We got a question from the Mootsack.
The Mootsack.
Let's pull it out.
The Mootsack.
That's what we call our mailbag. It's just a cute little name.
Mm-hmm. This question comes in from Kuba Skrzynski, who is the author of Beyond Crony Gron. That's my attempt at saying Polish. I apologize in advance, which is an awesome, awesome, humongous book on Polish folklore and role-playing game content. It's so great. Anyhow, Kuba writes, I'm writing to ask two important questions, both heavily related to your fine podcast. When the time for mailbag questions comes, do you actually listen to the Mootsack deep dive jingles, or are they being added afterward during the editing? And the second question is, for you, how mechanics heavy should an OSR module be to serve as a useful gaming supplement? Would you rather have all stuff, including traps, hazards, magic items, etc., stat blocked with saving throw indications and other mechanical lingo, or read more natural and universal descriptions like, this ring makes the wearer strong as a bear, that can be easily adapted to many adventure games' methodologies? Maybe there's a middle ground, like monsters should have HDs and basic attack values, but the rest can be kept descriptive. Cheers, love, and all the best. Your fan, Kuba Skrzynski. Thanks so much for that question, Kuba. I'll answer the first one real quick. We don't listen to any of the bumpers during recordings unless we have a guest that isn't Sam. And even then, it doesn't always happen. In the past, I used to cue them up in our podcast recording thingy. But then we stopped using that tool, and we switched to a different tool that doesn't really have a means to do that. So we don't... We don't really do that anymore. There are episodes where I will show people stuff and they'll hear it, but most of the time, I just leave a gap and then insert the bumper afterwards. Thanks for asking. As to your, do you have any response to that first question, Brad?
I don't, you said something about we used to play them. I don't ever.
Yeah, when we used to use in the early days.
I don't think so.
Yes, dude. What do you mean? We used to use
a different podcast you've been cheating on me with.
StreamYard. Remember StreamYard? It's got a little duck logo. I'm sure you remember that.
I guess. Yes. I don't remember hearing anything.
Yes. Yet. Direxon would come on and I would play stuff that he had done. That's not. I definitely.
Was that one time?
No, we did it multiple times. It doesn't matter.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, he's wrong. Anyhow, second question, how mechanics heavy should an OSR module be in order to be useful? Brad, do you have a response to this?
Boy, I don't know. You're asking me? This is the system matter question, buddy. You got bamboozled again.
Okay. System does matter, except for when it doesn't.
I know, but it's just, you know, that's like, I feel like that's the question that gets everyone on social media fired up. Everyone's yelling at each other.
This is very straightforward. I don't think it ultimately matters if you can get your point across. So, for instance, Reach of the Roach God by Zedek Shu and Meng Hao, that module has no stats whatsoever. It's entirely system neutral. Does that matter? Not one bit. If I was going to convert it to Karen, it would be really easy because I don't have to parse the original stats. I just look at the naturalistic language that Zedek employed throughout. Would it have been nice if it had been Karen? Well, yeah, for me, but not for folks running OSE, you know. So I think ultimately it doesn't matter. You're giving and you're losing. You know, I will say I'm generally opposed to dual stats. I know that I lavished praise on Waldendrum Valley of the Flowers a couple weeks ago, but I did say the dual stat thing just never really works for me. I'd say do system neutral or release release multiple versions for each system, which you've seen folks like Necrotic Gnome do that. You yourself have done, you know, Hideous Daylight for both OSC and Karen as separate publications. I much prefer that in terms of ease of use. I also think you could just release a simple stats addendum, like, oh, here's the stats for, you know, OSC or whatever after the fact. So in my opinion, as long as the mechanics help get your point across, great. If they don't, it's not necessary. I do think that mechanics can do that. I mean, if you really want to create a very specific combat encounter, mechanics are kind of the best way to do that. But if you're just looking for like characterization, you don't need to say someone has high charisma. You can just say they're charismatic, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it's about finding a sweet spot, I think. I think I lean more towards including the mechanics. I think it's really easy to ignore if you're not using it. But if you are using it in the system that it's published for, then it's always helpful. It's less processing power at the table, and you can focus on other concerns. So I appreciate that when I'm running a system and a module that is published for that system. If I'm adapting it to something else, something mechanical that's in a module is very easy to ignore, and I feel like it often does not impact the work. But I feel like every adventure, every module has a spirit to it, okay? And I think finding the spirit of your work is important to do, and that may mean being very brief in your description. It might be a very lightweight thing. You might not want to bog your work down with stat blocks and things like that if you're trying to publish a pamphlet adventure or a one-page dungeon. Of course, you shouldn't include mechanics. Those are simple examples, but I think, you know, pacing and flow is important. There's never a right answer. There's never a right way to do things. You have to kind of see through to the greater whole about what your goal is for the work and what that voice is. This is a very non-helpful answer, but that's what I think. Ultimately, it doesn't matter either way as long as it's good and I enjoy it. And that's what
I
think. Yeah.
I think we should just take that as an excerpt and keep it and for every Mootsack question. Just that which is ultimately it doesn't really matter as long as it's good and I enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Is your thing something that I like? Cool. Then, hey, I think you've done something well. Is your something I don't like? Well, shame on you. You failed me. You've let me down. And I think you need to reexamine your decisions that you've brought you to that point.
If you were in a race, right, uh-huh. and you did really well, and then someone came up to you after and said, what was your secret? And your response was, well, I just ran faster than everyone else. Like, that's that's who you are. You are the guy who doesn't help anybody with advice. No. It's a good answer. Prior to that, I think that was a good response. But
first I started running, and then I kept running, and then they told me I won.
I mean, it's crazy. Nobody else employs that strategy. All right. Thanks so much, Kuba, and congrats on your own Kickstarter there. I think your book is great. I hope everyone gets a chance to pick it up. Kuba is short for Jacob, right? I think it's
what?
Short, yeah, I think it's short for Jacob. I could be wrong. Okay.
I don't know what to say to that, but I'll believe you.
Okay. Moving on. Let's get to our main review. Sword of the Dragon Slayer.
Did you say that at the beginning of the show?
Yes, I did. I opened with it, I promise.
Okay.
Okay, one second. I'm just queuing up my credits here. Why
are you listening back to see if that's true? Or are you playing the tape?
No. I'm 100% sure.
You're gonna either way. You're gonna put it in post to prove me wrong. I'm never gonna be satisfied.
I literally said that really, you know, today we're going to review blah blah blah. But first, okay. So
okay,
today we're going to be talking about Sword of the Dragon Slayer. So this is an adventure by Andrea Tupac Molica. And it features artwork by Alessandro Paderi, and it features additional art by Maciej Zagorski from the Forge Studios. It has a soundtrack made by Andrea Tupac Molica as well.
Yes, it does.
And it has maps made by Wadaboo's ProcGen Arcana and Hexographer. The character sheet icons are from RPG Awesome. This is from April of 2024, so it's really, really recent. And it's published by Hellwinter Forge of Wonders for OSE, Old School Essentials.
I love all the, you know, studio names that authors have, you know. It's like, I don't know.
Well, it's like Sword Lords Publishing. What the hell does that guy even think he's doing?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a weird one, right?
One thing that's interesting here is it just writes that the artwork is by Alessandro Paderi, but if you look at the cover, I'm just noticing now, it says Sword of the Dragon Slayer, Andrea Tupac Molica, and Alessandro Paderi. So did Alessandro contribute writing as well, or is this just the art was so important that he got
I think we're giving the art equal billing, which I think honestly is pretty cool.
It's rad. I agree. I think it's rad. Yeah. I also like the playtesters because they are the most Italian names I've ever seen. They're great. They're all...
Yeah, that's what happens when you get people in Italy.
Right, no, so I wanted to mention, so this is an Italian team, and they've put out stuff before, but, you know, I took Italian for about a year at the Cambridge Adult School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, as an adult, and I can tell you one thing, as someone who spoke Spanish and French, I understood about, you know, 80% of what was said to me perfectly well. I could not speak a word. The whole year, I couldn't speak. My brain just wanted to speak Spanish. It just could not. Yeah. It couldn't just jump that track. You know, it just wanted the answer in Spanish, despite understanding what the teacher was saying to me. It's very frustrating.
I believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any other major takeaways from that class? Anything that, you know?
Oh, the amount of articles and, you know, forms of articles. Unbelievable. Yeah. I read once that Italian has some of the fewer, there are very few Italian speakers who also have dyslexia, that it's a really low percentage. And one theory is because it's so highly alliterative that it helps kind of undo some of the potential reasons why people would struggle with dyslexia. Like maybe they have it, but they're just more adapted. This could be totally apocryphal, but I do remember this being a factoid I picked up once. Why did you ask me about Italian?
It interests me. You know?
It's a cool language.
I don't know anything about, you know, what it's like to learn Italian. So
my wife took Latin in high school because that's what people from New England do apparently, and they had nowhere to go on a trip, so they went to Italy because that's the closest to Latin that they had. It's kind of like you studied, you know, Beowulf, and so you went to England. Uh-huh. know, it's
right. Or you study Klingon and you go to, I don't know, Burbank or something.
That's actually, you would hear Klingon. Well, that doesn't really work because there's no old form of the language. It doesn't matter. Well, interestingly, when developing conlangs, you know, constructed languages, what's his face? I lost his name.
Yeah.
His name. The guy who invented Dothraki and did other work. He says he always creates an older form of the language, and then he evolves the current form from the older form, which I think is pretty cool.
Like, that's cool, but that's nerd stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. It's conlangs. The word conlang, yeah. If you know what that word is, you are a nerd. End of story.
All right. Enough of a D&D podcast host calling people out as nerds.
Takes one to know one, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, yeah. The guy's name is David Peterson. That's the name of the... who worked, by the way, on the game Dialect, which folks should check out.
Yeah.
Sword of the Dragon Slayer. What's this about? Yeah. What's it all about?
Are you asking me or are you speaking hypothetically?
No, here? You are the one who does this part of the podcast. You describe it.
Sword of the Dragon Slayer. Okay, this is a module for levels 4 through 6 for Old School Essentials. Yeah, we have a very, very, very straightforward classic vanilla fantasy plot here. I'd say refreshingly classic to me, honestly. The plot here is that a dragon has appeared and is threatening a fantasy town. But these poor villagers have no one to call on. The powers that be have no means to defend themselves from a dragon slayer. So there is a call for heroes. But as it turns out, a dragon attacked this same town some 150 years ago and was defeated by a dragon slayer with a magical sword. And this dragon slayer is buried somewhere nearby in a shrine with that magic sword. So perhaps our player characters will seek out this sword so that they may defeat the dragon. Perhaps they'll just take their chances and just attack the dragon. But that's the module. We have a town that's loosely detailed. We have a so we have a regional map, some hexes to explore. We've got a little forest to navigate through. And then we've got a very small dungeon with I think 5 rooms. And that is the shrine that I mentioned where the Dragon Slayer has been interred. So that is Tomb of the Dragon Slayer. Clocks in here. This is not print on demand. This is PDF only. Clocks in at something like 44 pages. And I'm guessing these are A5. This is not like a letter-sized page, I would guess.
It printed pretty well for me, but you can tell it's A5 because it's got huge gaps on the side. So I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
So, anything else you'd like to add to this?
Not really. Other than, what is this the most classic setup? Town dragon?
Yes. I don't know. To me, the setup is so... like straightforward vanilla fantasy that it somehow has flipped over and feels fresh to me. Like, oh yeah.
Well, it's like
a dragon is threatening a village. Like that's hot. That's hot. I'm like, that got my interest, man. Just the simplicity of that is just it really speaks to me.
I feel like the dragon, attacking a town thing is definitely overdone, but I'm here for it. I don't mind it. You know, whether you're talking about, the vanilla, what's that? The vanilla adventure? Is that?
Yeah.
One? That vanilla one. Adventure. And then J.P. Coover did that Dragon Town one. And then I'm sure we have others, but this is a tried and true method. This one is a little more interesting than some of those. I think it feels there's a kind of timer before the dragon, you know, attacks and destroys the town. I don't think that's a spoiler. It's just
enjoy those other works as well. I don't know if I want to rank them, but
I'm not ranking them.
Vanilla Adventure is one that I have a lot of fondness for. But yes, this one does have a timer element, which I think is interesting. I agree with you.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing that. Also, real quick, what is the font here?
Does it say? I like when books tell me.
I also like that. It does not say the font.
I don't think so.
It's not the same as Maze Rats, but it reminds me of that. I don't know what it is. Anyways, yeah. It's definitely a choice. There is a ton of art throughout. I want to talk about that first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like all the art quite a bit.
Yes.
It has a generic feel to some of it, and then other aspects are not generic at all. Like, for instance, I feel like the little spot pieces, maybe the the little frog dude, and there's like a little what page is that on the 12 page 12 are really just bounce on, you know, they bounce from the page, or what's the word, they pounce off of the page, they leap from the page, there it is. But but then there's some small bits that are just kind of like, oh, that's effective, but I'm not memorable in any way. But the ones that help serve, so there's obviously the cover, which is a dragon over the body of a woman. And then you see that image actually repeated two more times, which is unnecessary, I think, but fine, whatever.
Like in the title page? Is it somewhere
else? You see it on pages 1, 3, and 4.
Okay.
Page 1 being the cover. It's fine, whatever.
I see. It's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. But I really like in the dungeon area, I like that they illustrate some of the stuff that you're dealing with. Like, it just really brings it to life. And I also enjoy some of the kind of like weird perspective art. Like on page 22, there's this image of a barrow, and it's kind of at an angle because they did it. It's a portrait, not landscape, but it fills the whole page. I just like that kind of stuff. It's totally out there. And the dragon art is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think the illustrations are great. I love the design of it, period. This the PDF has this yellow background with like red design element. I don't know. I think looks really, really nice. I really love the design. But the illustrations are really popping. I think they work really well with the work. I especially like, I think already the setup, it's a very like old school JRPG kind of vibe for me. Like, it feels like I'm playing Dragon Quest or like Final Fantasy, like an old, like on the NES or something. But I really like how, especially when we get to the dungeon, there are, I think, 4 or 5 illustrations of just like features of the room, but they're kind of like from the perspective of the players. It really makes me feel like I'm playing like a CRPG, you know, like I'm like this would be a graphic of
Well, the room. It's an old school boxed text.
Yeah.
In second person.
I'm not saying the art looks like a video game. It's not like pixelated or anything like that. It just has that kind of like, this is what the players would see or what the characters would see. And I think it's really evocative, really works for me. I love it. I think
as an example of that, it'll be something like, I'm trying to find something that doesn't give anything away here.
And I also think it's effective too that it's mostly black line art, but there's also just some color highlights, which
really make a huge difference. Now they did release there is in the downloads along with a soundtrack. There is a print friendly version that really prints well. I did have some issues with the boxed text font. For some reason my printer didn't print it right, but everything else looks really good, totally readable. But you really miss out not having the colors, even on the like generic Wataboo maps. Like, the color really adds a lot. Almost makes me wonder why they didn't just draw the map in that case. But to pick up on what you were saying about the boxed text, it's always italicized, and there is box text, but that's not what you're talking about. But it will say something like, "The town is a picturesque tableau of quaint cottages and sturdy stone buildings, their facades weathered by time, yet imbued with quiet grace. Narrow cobblestone streets wind through colorful market stalls, taverns, and workshops where skilled artisans ply their trade. But now fear flows through the streets like venom."
I love that.
Yeah. So a little bit on this before we get into the actual review. I agree the art is great. I think the layout is really good, really easy to read, totally presentable. I kind of wish they had a POD. I'm hoping that happens. However, there are some language issues throughout, and they're almost all to do, I think, because clearly the authors are working from English as a second language. And I think it's very good. I think the writing is very good, but there's just kind of weird things that a native speaker doing one run through, like an editor you pay $40 to or whatever, would have caught all of them. They're pretty obvious. And like the most egregious I saw were that, the best example of this particular thing that I'm going to mention is on the notable PC NPCs and monsters section. Let's say you see something like a bygone warden. That's a monster, an original monster in this. It's a tall humanoid skeleton with bronze armor of bygone style that usually fights with a battle axe. Like, no one would really write, it's a tall humanoid. You just write a tall humanoid. And that kind of sort of grammatical strangeness, that happens a lot in this. Like, I would say roughly 20 times at least. And again, it's not a big deal and it's totally fine. I'm just saying this is one example where if I were, for instance, to write an adventure in Spanish, I would absolutely have a native Spanish speaker, not even an editor, just go through it, because the weirdnesses to me stand out. And I found quite a few of them. I think it's really awesome that you can write something it's in a language that's not your native language. I think that's really great. Uh-huh. I wish we got more translations of Italian work in general, but I just wanted to point that out, because that's the kind of thing that I point out. So,
yeah, for me, it's kind of, I don't know, it's almost a feature. It's none of it's incorrect. Like, it's written, you know, there might be a few typos and grammatical, errors at time to time. But like the approach to language it feels very like fresh to me somehow. Like, I would never approach language like this, because this is, as you say, probably not someone who is speaking English as a first language here. I don't know. It has like a very musical quality to it somehow. Like, it's just not a way that I approach language. And so reading it is interesting to me, and like somehow enticing. I understand and accept what you're saying. How about it can take you out of the work if you're like, that's a funny way to say that. But for me, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of eating it up a little bit.
That's so cool. That's cool. I think that's a legit view on it. I noticed it quite a bit, and I only bring it up because it comes up with a lot of Mary Mushman stuff. Maybe that will change now that they have an American editor. But it just seemed like a shame in that case, because literally one read through and I could find all of these. You don't even need to be an editor. It's just some weird grammatical structures around things. Right. Which, hey, if that is a feature for you, awesome. I doubt that was the intention, but you're also not the first to think that an Italian speaker is musical. Anyway, I do think it's very well written overall. It has, the English is great. There's really no typos. There is really clean use of text in general. I think the layout is very fresh, very easy to read, very not minimal, because there's every space is used, but it doesn't overburden itself, with a few exceptions that I'll get to. Maybe I'll just slide into my review of it.
Go for it.
Okay. So overall, I enjoyed this quite a bit. I think it's a good dungeon/hex adventure for what it is. I think the hex is very, the Overland adventure is very small. We have these, it's something like 10 by 10 or whatever it is amount of hexes. And then there are these kind of, there's a forest hex area that makes no sense to me. Like, why would this be a hex crawl? It's a point crawl, but it's a hex crawl with points. It doesn't really make sense, but overall it's a small little adventure. I think it's super stylistic, and I think that does a lot for me, because I get a, I think the most important thing about running an adventure that you haven't written yourself is that you get a feel for what the author's trying to put out into the world. You get a good vibe and you feel like you can reproduce that vibe. This, I feel like it's really easy to do. You've got enough interesting content going on and interesting little run-ins with various local creatures and characters that you get an immediate feel through the fiction for what the area is like, but the style of the layout and art really take it across the finish line, to use a sports metaphor.
Yeah.
I do have some quibbles. I don't know how much to say outside of deep dive. I think the timer is a great mechanic. I think it's overcomplicated. I don't think you need to say every time this happens at a time. You just make like a, just use wilderness events tables or something, and then just have it happen on every time you have to roll or whatever. I feel like you could really simplify it. It doesn't need to be so prescriptive. It can just, there's a lot of prescriptive text in this as well. Like, if this happens, then that will happen. If that happens, then that will happen. And it's fine. It's not hard to remember, and it gives you a good idea of the potential outcomes to a scenario, but it also just doesn't seem necessary. Like, there, it's hard to talk about without going to deep dive, but there are, I don't need to know the three or four ways this could end or a table with every potential ending. I think it's helpful and cool, but I don't really need it. You know, I can kind of, if the text is good enough, you'll figure that out on your own. The only real critique I have is that I think the dungeon doesn't provide a lot of interesting encounters. There's, let me rephrase that. It provides exactly 5 interesting encounters, or I should say 4 out of 5 are interesting.
Yeah.
One I think is dumb, but I wish it was, it's just like a shrine, so why would it be a huge dungeon? But I really do wish it had been at least 2 floors. I feel like it could have had more interesting hallways and decisions. There's not really a lot of decisions you can make. Once you get in there, you can go basically 2 ways, and then the whole thing will be solved quickly. That said, for a one shot, this would be perfect, or even for two sessions. So overall, I'm positive on it. I have some criticisms, but I want to wait for deep dive to do that. And I'm sure I'll think of something else while you're talking.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Okay. Yeah. So something I thought, I'll start by saying I enjoyed this. All right. When I was in college, I worked at my college radio station, and there was a joke amongst, it wasn't really a joke. I don't know what this was. On the music, staff there, there was this thing that people said, is that we play 3 kinds of songs at this radio station. We play hits, super hits, and office favorites. Office favorites. This is a song. This is, you know, like the radio station office favorite. You know.
Oh, not like what people, what worker drones would like, but not what house favorites. Got it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. That struck me as a funny thing that people said. So to me, this one, it feels like an office favorite. Okay. It's got a lot of charm. I really enjoy it. I don't think it's one I would put on the top of my list to recommend to people if they're looking for like an OSR adventure. It's not one that's on the top of my stack. You know, I think it's got some issues with it that prevent it from being a classic or, you know, a strong recommendation. That said, it's got loads of charm, and there's just a lot that I really enjoy about it that for me, make it just something that I thought was just really interesting to spend time with. For one, like I said, the classic fantasy vanilla setup, I think is really appealing. It feels like I'm playing like Dragon Quest I or something like that. Even with like some of the encounters in town, there's like a city hall where you can go to read like, historical documents. And it really feels like you go to read like clues about interacting with the world. It's like, it shouldn't work, but for me, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. I like it. Also, the writing is just so earnest. There's just this like earnestness that permeates everything here. Like, there is so many exclamation points. And like, normally if I'm editing someone's work, I say, take out exclamation points. They don't work. It's like putting, you know, a gun on the table. It's just like, there's too much. It's just this burst that just kind of reads weirdly, I think, a lot when you're using an exclamation point. Here, they're everywhere, and somehow I think it totally works. Like, it's just, you feel this like earnest enthusiasm permeating through it. The language is very flowery. There's very purple prose in places that I think is really appealing. It's just like a, has just a, you know, and I think it's, either as a, because it's a translation or English as a second language, it has a certain like otherness to my American ears that makes it very appealing. There's approaches to language that I would not have thought of that are not incorrect, but they're just not my reality as an American. So it's interesting to me and fun to read. Yeah, I think the art, the design is really fantastic and just a pleasure to flip through. I like, we even get illustrations of like items, like there's a sword, there's a ring. I love that stuff. Yeah, I think it's got some issues. The all the areas I just think are underdeveloped. You know, like there's a forest crawl that has like five areas. I wanted more. It's just, I don't think there's, we spent enough time to really get a vibe. It's just like, it feels like we're just passing through. It doesn't really feel like substantial.
Right.
The dungeon, only right. five rooms. I wanted more. I just wanted more encounters. I wanted more to explore. I just think we needed to, you know, triple the room count. You know, and it, they don't all have to be interesting or whatever, but right. have some environmental challenges, maybe have an NPC.
Honestly, I was surprised at how few monster encounters there were, but I don't want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, maybe we should get to deep dive about that because I do have most of my criticisms require spoiling it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, there are very few monster encounters. But I like all the build up this around this dragon. I like the planning elements, the timer. You're like really feeling time as a resource that you're spending. Like, is it worth it to go explore?
Right. Well, that's the thing is that it's not really clear if the PCs know that going
right.
into it.
Yeah.
And it's another aspect of the dragon that I've, again, I kept this away earlier, but whatever. There's not a lot of role play with the dragon. Like the dragon, they literally have a section called the showdown. There's not really a way where you don't end up fighting the dragon or missing it entirely. Right. And I feel like that was a lost opportunity. Like if there had been more factional elements, and there's some stuff that I could bring up later, but I feel like that was another missed opportunity is that just the dragon was just this kind of force and it's going to come in, it's going to burn this town down. And whether the PCs figure that out and stop it in time is up to them, which is cool.
Yep.
I like that sandboxy kind of feeling, but I kind of wish like, you know, when Bilbo went to meet Smaug, there was a lot of tit for tat and discussion between them, you know? And I love that. And I feel like there's not that much back and forth that can really happen with the dragon in this. There is almost, there's a point where it mentions how he's amassed treasure so he can hire locals to rule the area. Right. Yeah, more of that. Give me more of that, you know?
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to give away too much about the dragon.
Yeah. For me, I think this is just a juicy little nugget. I love spending time with it. Will I ever run this? I don't know.
I think I would run it and just change it up a little bit. Treat it a little differently, but because it reminds me of Black Worm a little bit. I mean, yes, that has a dragon, but Black Worm is totally different. Such a good module. Anyways. One other area I was disappointed in that I want to say before deep dive was, I just feel like, look, you already have such style. Don't slum it in the, you know, hex area. Like, draw a map or draw nice hexes. I know it's effective, but it's so oddly juxtaposed with how nice everything else is. Like, you have a great artist. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, instead of just literally a symbol of a dragon on top of a hex, I would love to see nicer art. It's fine if you don't. It just is an odd juxtaposition. Everything else looks so great, you know?
Yeah.
It's very clear for what it's worth.
Yeah, the hex map is kind of strange. Like, I don't really need it.
It's yet another example of not actually needing a hex. And I felt this way as well. I recently read through a dragon bane module, and they also had a little hexes in there, and I don't understand why. Like, they don't if your hex, okay, so this says one hex equals 8 miles, right? Is that a first, by the way? 8 miles,
I've never seen an 8 mile hex.
I think it's the first for me too. What
to my knowledge,
who is this serving? I feel like if you're gonna do hexes, this should be three huge hexes that are you know, I don't know, 10 or 12 miles each. And what are you?
Because this, the adventure is not about a hex crawl. Like none of these areas.
There's
are
no
detailed.
There's not.
We have like time elements. Like we know how much it costs to go to a certain.
And there are
Because of the hexes.
Right, and there are wilderness events. I will give it that. So maybe we're just thinking about it wrong. Maybe it totally could be that. It just feels again secondary. It's an example where I don't think this is really needed. Like the you know the logic behind hexes is it creates a universal distance. It carves the map up into universal measurements, and it also provides six different paths automatically.
Right,
which is great. I don't see how either is served by a map this size. I don't mean 8 miles. I mean like the size of how many hexes. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hexes across, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hexes the other way. It doesn't make sense to me. Anywho, cool. Yeah. Let's get the deep dive so we can talk about specifics. Okay, so deep dive for Sword of the Dragon Slayer starting now.
Deep dive. Spoilers.
Okay, so here's what's really going on. You ready for this? Here's what's really going on. There's a dragon, you guys, that's going to attack this town, okay? But guess what? This dragon is actually the son of the last dragon that attacked
150 years ago.
Yeah. And get this. The dragon slayer that killed the dragon 150 years ago wasn't actually a good guy. She was kind of a bad guy. She was kind of a tyrant who ruled this land, and no one liked her. But she died when she fought the dragon. And she is buried with her magical talking sword, which is an intelligent weapon, which is chaotic. But if you spend time talking to your sword every day, it can eventually turn lawful, which I've never seen that before, but I kind of like that. Now, none of that matters a whole lot. Like, when you find out that the former Dragon Slayer was evil, it's like interesting, but it doesn't really change a whole lot. You know, it's like, and I'm not saying there's a criticism or anything, but it's like, how does that reflect? How does that change the world? You know, you find her spirit and she's actually pretty chill. She's like, oh yeah, you want to kill a dragon? Yeah, take my sword. See you later. I could imagine that encounter being very different, but it's interesting. It's color, it's flavor. I think it helps flavor the work, but yeah, it's not like it's not a narrative defining twist that you discover.
No, I'm actually kind of happy that it wasn't.
Yeah.
I like that it's just a cool thing.
It feels like, again, it has that kind of very classic vanilla vibe, but it's.
Let me ask you. So let's get to the shrine, right? Because I think that's where my problems kind of begin.
Yeah.
There's these two gargoyles in the shrine entrance.
Yeah. But man, I love that illustration of that.
I do too.
That gargoyle. Yeah.
Are they gargoyles from our world? Do they not come alive? I was very unclear. They're just statues.
No, they come alive.
Based on what?
Let's go to the page.
They see weird figures and symbols carved into its archway with a sinister-looking statue on the left. In front of the archway lies the skeletons and burnt corpses of some forest critters. It doesn't quite look like the resting place of a noble hero! Then it says, sinister statue. It's a gargoyle. There used to be two, but a passing adventurer destroyed the right side one decades ago. At no point does it say the gargoyles will attack, and nor are there gargoyle stats in this document.
Yeah. I guess you're right. It's not explicit. It's a gargoyle. I interpret, if it's a gargoyle, then I always interpret it as a monster gargoyle.
Okay, then if that's the case,
unclear.
When do they? If you show up at night, they'll be awake. Like, what? I was a little confused by that. There are a bunch of puzzles in this. I like the puzzles, although some of them are a little bit there's one in particular that I could see people getting annoyed at. And that's the chaotic rainbow one.
there's a demon wall who asks you riddles.
Yeah, the riddle.
I like that it has six riddles here. So if you don't know one, I like that he'll just keep asking them.
Yeah. I find that very boring.
I'm into it. And then, there's a rainbow orb puzzle where you have to There's a statue of a goddess holding a bunch of chromatic orbs, and you have to put them in the right order. But they're kind of strange colors. They're kind of diffused. So it's hard to kind of understand what that...
Yeah, so that one I feel like will be very difficult without providing some kind... Like, I would hand the color handout of this to the players and just say, figure it out. You know, like I...
Yeah.
I wouldn't find this fun, personally. Nor would I find the riddle that fun.
I'm cool with that. I think it's the thing that really strikes me about funny about the rainbow puzzle is once you put the orbs in order, you have to kiss the statue on the lips to like check your work. I'm like, who's your UX designer, man? This is funny. A user interface. You have to go kissing the statue on the lips to like open the door. It's good stuff. I like that.
The there's another handout that is like the alphabetic translation of these runes, like. A equals this and B. I absolutely hate stuff like that. First off, because I don't find it interesting. I mean, I enjoy ciphers as much as anyone else.
Yeah.
But when their languages are not just this, the word and in English isn't the same as the word and in Spanish. And they don't have the same amount of letters in them. You know, it doesn't really make sense. Like, were they writing in a secret script, but it was just their local language? Like, that stuff, that kind of stuff to me is always very silly. You see it in video games a lot and in some like older fantasy stuff, but I never enjoy that stuff. I find it very dumb. I'd rather just say such and such person understands it because they have this background or they've found something that lets them translate it. I don't find it interesting to do one-to-one ciphers.
I think the only, I admire it as because there's, it's a puzzle with two solutions. You can find the cipher to let you determine the runes, or if a magic user has, you know, a spell to understand languages, then you can do it. So I like that it's a door with two keys, but I know what you're saying. The one-to-one cipher for like this rune is equal to this, you know, alphabet character and it's all English is a little strange.
I did enjoy the Hall of the 1,000 Shadows where there's sheets of steel are pushed on the wall, and when light reflects from them, these monsters come out of them. And I can just imagine people like trying to rip them off the walls to stop the monsters from coming out. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was cool. I like that.
I wish I knew a little more about these creatures. I know we have a stat block for them, but and I also enjoyed the Ring Hills, that little like section in the back. I wish you had more. There's a ring there, you'll never guess, and there's a ring mound, lots
there's
of rings
a ring in those hills.
Ring hills. Well, what did you think of the dragon?
I like him. He's suitably villainous. I personally would maybe have him try to find a way to have him appear, like you said, for a little chit chat before like the big showdown. You know,
there is an encounter where you can see him once before he flies away, but there's not much going on.
What I do think is effective is with the timer, you know, like traveling certain distances will advance the timer. The way you spend your time advances the timer, and that's written in each like entry for each area. But I like that events in the town show you that this is progressing. Like, so the shops start closing, they board up the town hall so you can't look at the archives anymore. Everyone starts leaving, so like you get the sense that there's this coming storm. Like, people are leaving, people are panicking. And I like how that is explicitly broken down as the timer advances.
Yeah, I agree. That kind of stuff makes it feel real.
Yeah.
Question about the dragon. How much damage does his breath do?
Yeah, it's equal to his remaining hit points.
Where does it say that?
That's just a BX thing.
I know, but where does it say that?
Doesn't say it in the text, I don't think. But I didn't really do a deep dive on the stat block.
If you go and look in Old School Essentials official page, it's different. Like, the AC is different. The HD is different.
Yeah.
The bite is very different. In OSC, it's 4d8 is the damage from a bite. In this, it's 1d8. So that's why I thought, well, okay, which... Am I supposed to just, I understand it's a BX thing, but this is for OSE and
this
is not
an adapted dragon.
Yeah. It's adapted and it's missing some information. That's all. Just putting that out there.
I hear you.
It also has, you know, spells and stuff. So that's also
it does. Yeah, that's special. Different too.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I remember reading it going, oh, okay, so this isn't exactly a red dragon. I was only familiar because I recently did the Karen Bestiary. And so I was reading what does OSC do? What is other, you know, for different kinds of dragons? Sure. And I thought that was interesting. Anyhow, yeah. No biggie.
Yep.
Cool, 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 cool. So yeah, overall, I think that the timer is the best part of the dragon and makes it feel really terrifying. Yeah. And that's why I feel like it's a shame that there wasn't more that you could engage. Like there are these ogres that the dragon hires that you could run into. That's kind of cool. I kind of wish that they had been doing more maybe. And that, you know, maybe that was how you find out about the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like the fairies in the woods that make you do embarrassing things if you don't want to.
They're nice fairies. Give
them presents.
Yeah.
I mean, this feels like fun stuff to do at the table. They make you like do a little dance or, you know, and like I definitely make my players like get up and perform for me too, you know. Like it's just like fun table stuff here happening, you know. Yeah, there's like a missing grandpa who's like, you know, high on mushrooms, naked, wandering around in the woods. That's fun. This is good stuff there. Yeah, there's just like the vibes are good. The vibes are very good. This just feels great. You know, we have no, you know, we have no like 2010s OSR grime on this. You know what I mean? This is just like very, it's all very like, I don't want to say sterile, but it's very like,
it's vanilla.
Freshly laundered, you know? Like it just feels like very clean and I don't know. It's just, it's fresh. I don't know how it feels like that, but it does.
Well, I'm glad that you and I both found some good stuff out of it. And I hope that they release a print on demand version. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like $3 right now.
Yeah. On drive through. It's super cheap.
Yeah.
It's wicked cheap.
That's right. New England.
All right. Well, this has been Between Two Karens. You can find us at betweentwokarens@gmail.com or on the Karen Discord server in the Between Two Karens channel. Join our Patreon to receive stickers. And that's it.
And a drawing. I'll do a drawing, too. I'm working on
it. Oh, sorry. You'll get a drawing with... Right. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm waiting on some... I ran out of stickers, folks. I'm waiting on a sticker order, and then I'm going to start sending out more stickers. Stickers are incoming if you're a patron. Look for stickers. I do a drawing of a Druk. Does anyone even know what Druks are? I just realized this. Like, we might have some listeners who are like, what are you guys on about here? What is this stuff? I think
I'll describe them. They're horrendous humanoid ducks who expose their nipples. And they kind of terrify me. I'm uncomfortable looking at them. And Brad has like an obsession, so that's what they are.
It's not an obsession. It's just something I think is funny because you don't like them. I ran an adventure I wrote called Temple of 1,000 Swords, and I, you know, spent 45 minutes on the shading on the duck person's nipple, and it bothers yokai, and that's where we're at now. It's just that's just kind of the level we're at here. So that's what we're drawing for. If you were wondering what's with these guys and the ducks, that's the explanation.
Oh, these guys! You drew a duck as our logo. Before we had
two. Takes two, man. You didn't say no, you know?
I didn't understand how deep it went, you know?
Hey, the people that see tyranny and do nothing, they're, you know, they've got blood on their hands.
That's how it goes. That's nailed it. All right. Okay. And thanks to Bobby McKelver for the intro and outro music, as well as the Mootsack bumper, and thanks to Direct Sun for the deep dive bumper. We will be back next week with something spectacular. I actually don't know what we're reviewing.
Sure.
What was it? Did we decide yet?
No idea.
Damn it.
No idea.
It's not a Gamer Blast because that's in a couple weeks, but whatever.
I don't know what we're doing.
Whatever. We got to talk about that. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you all.
That's the end of the show. Yeah. Stay hydrated, folks. You know, mow your lawn if you've got one or don't. It doesn't matter.
Wait.
Grass. It's either good or it's bad. There's different opinions about that. I think a lot of people are anti-lawn. We're talking about this a little bit on Discord. Some people, though, think grass actually is good. It's very important for water or dirt or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to that. But some people think lawns are good. Some people think they're bad. Personally, I bought a new lawnmower this year, but guess what, folks? It didn't make me like mowing the lawn anymore. I still don't like it. I didn't like it before, and now that I have a new lawnmower, I still don't like it. So that's where I'm at. Hey, find happiness any way you can, folks. It's probably not with a new lawnmower, though. So maybe get like a fresh squeezed juice. I find that's a better way to find happiness. You have the choice to go to the juice place, get the green juice. I think that'll cheer you up. All right. A new lawnmower, it won't. All right. It's just, it is what it is. Okay. Just some musings about happiness and about the nature of commercialism, capitalism here.
Yeah.
And finding happiness where you can. Just some final thoughts from me to you.
Okay.
A little bit of Brad's wisdom, I guess you could say. I don't know if you could call it wisdom. Maybe just Brad's musings. Let's call it that. On the end of Between Two Cairns.
Okay.
The podcast starring Brad.
Okay.
And Yochai. Signing off to you now.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
There it
Have
is.
A happy day. God bless you. And good night.
There it
Sweet
is.
Sweet princes and princesses.
No. Enough. Enough. Good night. Good. Not even good night. Damn it. Goodbye.
You said good night. That's
goodbye.
It. I'm satisfied.
Oh, okay. Oh, don't say you're
satisfied. Good night.
Okay. Goodbye. Bye.